of a place where mercy reigns and never dies. And there's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. Sin and shame are powerless. And there my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you, where your love. I'm in awe of you, where your love is, and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in. Jesus. hope is found here on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow. Here, my hope is found. Here, on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow at the I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love breathed in, and my sin washed white.
Glory. Thank the Lord. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. I think it's so interesting, the songs that they led us in tonight in worship. It ties in with exactly what's on my heart. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and they talked about, he made this statement that the three greatest things is what? It's faith, hope, and love, right? And, of course, the greatest is love, but faith. You and I tonight, we can't be saved without faith. We can't receive promises of God without faith. We can't walk in the abundance of the life that Jesus promised us without faith. Everything tonight has to do with faith. And so, with that understanding, we've got to recognize and realize that the enemy, your enemy, my enemy, who is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy everything out of our lives, he wants to create fear. Fear in your life. Fear in my life. And the way that he operates, he brings little fears to gain a foothold, a stronghold, and then he brings them in an enlargement in different many ways. And I want us to talk about how we can forego fear. Amen. How we can be in a place, in a position where you realize you don't fight fear. Amen. I don't fight fear. The only thing we're supposed to fight is the good fight of faith. Amen. And so a lot of times we're going at things maybe just a little off center. And if we'll let the Word of God bring us right back to center with Jesus in the middle of everything, we won't make any mistakes and we'll walk in a new place. If you would, we'll look at the example of Jesus in just a minute, but open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, and let's see about the importance. Now, you and I tonight, we know that Jesus overcome all. Amen? And because he overcome, you and I can overcome. Amen? But I think that we maybe through misunderstanding and maybe through teaching of some. We think that once we get saved and once we get quote unquote sanctified, everything's going to be okay. But you and I know that the closer we get to Jesus, the more problems we're going to encounter, because the more sanctified you get, the more you get on the enemy's radar, the more of a threat you are to the enemy, and the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you and I. Amen? So, well, let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here, and then let's go and let's learn from the example of Jesus. Revelation chapter 21, let's, for sake of time, let's read verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8, when you're there, say amen. Amen. Notice what the Word of God says. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 7. It says, he or she, no gender intended, the person that overcometh shall inherit all things. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen. We're overcomers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he or she, he shall be what? My child, my son, glory. Now notice this. Verse number 8, mark it in your Bible, but. There's always a but. Amen? But, now notice the very first thing listed. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the service today. Lord, thank you for each and everything you're doing in our lives each and every day, Lord. Lord, give us this opportunity and chance to still remind and open our heart, Lord, and still the word in our lives, Lord, so it can become our lives, Lord. And
yes.
And your life, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. Thank you for your presence tonight. I am so glad to see each and every one of you. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with you. And I'm looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do tonight. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So I don't know about you, because, you know, we all think and we all rate things in different ways. If I'd have been the Lord, I would have put fearful way down the list. I mean, the abominators and the idolaters and all of that stuff, you know, from a natural way of thinking, you know, you would think that that would be more offensive to God. But God says that I can't even please him without faith. So that's right, Brother Donnie. That's exactly right. It's all about the faith. Everything else lines up. If you've got the faith, then everything else will take care of itself. So tonight, if we're going to forego fear, then we need to understand that, first of all, fear is a force. And fear is something that you and I are going to deal with continually. We're not going to get the victory one day and never have to face the battle again. You're going to have to face fear, because you are faith people. And the meaning of having faith is that faith is going to be challenged. It's going to be tested. And so what we need to do, we need to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe, and you believe, I know, that the Bible says that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. He was, Peter said, without spot, blemish, no blemish. So that means, just like the book of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 4, says that he was in all points tempted like you and I, yet without sin. So he was perfect. So he dealt with everything that you and I will ever deal with, and he overcome it. So the writer of the book of Revelation, by the unction of the Spirit of God, John, the apostle of love, he said, by the inspiration, he said, we need to learn how to overcome. So let's look at how Jesus overcome, and let's put that to practice. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22. And let's see one of the most, quote unquote, fearful situations that our Master encountered and how he overcome. Because if you and I apply the Scriptures, we apply Jesus the Word, we're going to have success. Amen?
Yes, amen.
We're going to walk in victory. So Luke chapter 22, for sake of time, let's go down to verse 39. Luke 22 and 39. Now Jesus is fixing to go to the cross for you. Go to the cross for me. He's fixing to take all the sin of the world on his life. Everything I would ever done, everything I would ever do, Jesus was fixing to take it on his life. He was fixing to encounter every demon, every evil spirit, every imp that I would ever encounter, that you would ever encounter. He was fixing to meet them all and all at once. And he was fixing to come into a place of carrying what we couldn't carry because it was going to kill us. But he was going to carry it past the grave, and he was going to take his own blood and go to the mercy seat for us. Amen? And so can you imagine, as he's in that place, what he was feeling? Now, he was God, but he was. So let's consider that and let's learn from this. Luke 22, verse 39. And he, Jesus, came out and went. And as he went, better said, as his custom was. That's what it's saying from the Greek. This is what his custom was. To what? He went to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. So here Jesus was. He's going to God's favorite place on the planet. The Mount of Olives. Now, this is very significant to you and I because this Mount of Olives, it's a place where they took, this is not just the Mount of Olives, but this is a specific place that Jesus is going to teach you and I where we can understand. He's going to the place where the olive press was.
Yeah.
He was going to the place where they pressed the last drop of oil out of each olive, symbolizing what was fixing to happen to him. Every bit of the life was going to be pressed out of him. The blood was going to be pressed out of him for you and I tonight. And he was going to defeat the one who held us into bondage. Help me remember Hebrews 2:14. Sometime we need to go there. Hebrews 2:14. Okay. So let's see Jesus. Here he is. He's at the place. Now notice what it says. Verse number 40. And he was at the place, and he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now I want you to notice this. The place. He was at the place where this press was. But how do we put that into our understanding tonight? He was at the place. The word place there, it's topos in the Greek, and it's the same Greek word that we quote all the time, that we talk about all the time in Ephesians 4:27. Remember, Ephesians 4:27, the Apostle Paul, in the Pauline epistle to the church at Ephesus, he said, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. So Jesus is at the place for you. He's at the place for me, where fear is not just present, but fear is overwhelming. Fear is there to steal, kill, and destroy all the life of God, all the promises of God, all of the will of the Father. Now, you and I tonight, every one of us, if we had time to share, we've got situations that we're encountering. And we've got a choice to make. Am I going to accept by faith what God has said, what Jesus has accomplished, or am I going to be paralyzed by fear? Because that's what fear does. Fear paralyzes us. Because you ever notice, I don't know about you, but when it comes to time to make a decision, if the spirit of fear is trying to operate in my life, I just stop. I don't know what to do. I can't make a decision. It may be simple to somebody on the outside looking in, but to me, it's the hardest thing to do. Because why? Because that spirit of fear has paralyzed me. How many times have you heard about somebody drowning? And there'd be people standing all around, and they're so afraid of what's happening because death is there. They stand there and they watch the person drown because they're paralyzed by that. Well, you and I, we have been liberated. Amen? And we've not only been liberated, we have been sent out into a lost and dying world to help those people who are going under. And because God brought us up and didn't let us go under, you and I, we're going to keep other people from going under. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So Jesus, he was at the place, and notice what he says to his disciples. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, let's think about this now. Jesus has done explained to them what's about to happen. They don't really understand it. But he makes this statement to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. So what's the temptation here? The temptation he's talking about is the temptation to fear. Because in a moment's time, they're going to see one of their own. They're going to see Judas coming, leading the temple guards with swords and stakes, staves, and they're going to come and they're going to get the one they've been walking beside for 3.5 years. And they're going to lead him out and they're going to beat him to a bloody pulp. That's fearful. Because they gave up everything to serve Jesus. Tonight, may I dare say that you've gave up everything to serve Jesus. Because we know there's no hope in the world. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're counting on what he has done. And guess what? His work is finished. John 19:30, it's complete. And because it's complete, we're complete. Colossians 2 in him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So he said, the first key, this is how you and I forego fear. We've got to always be in the place of prayer. Paul wrote to the church and he said over and over, but he wrote in to the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means even when you and I are having to do things, we're communing with the Lord spirit to spirit. We're about our business. Our mind may be thinking about what we're having to do. Our body may be going through motions, but our spirit is communing with the Holy Spirit. And our spirit is being fed truth, being encouraged, being strengthened. When all things around us to the flesh may look fearful, may look threatening, but on the inside, we know everything's going to be okay because Jesus said it was. Amen? So we need to, first thing we've got to do is keep this open line of communication. We've got to know and believe that as we're walking through everyday life, God said through Jesus, he said, occupy till I come. He knows that you've got stuff to do. I've got stuff to do. We've got to take care of everyday life. But in the middle of taking care of that, when the devil brings a storm cloud on the horizon, our confidence is because our spirit is always in constant communication by the Holy Spirit to God the Father that we're going to have truth imparted to us. We're going to have strength imparted to us. We're going to have revelation come to us to be able to be that overcomer. Amen? That's who you are. And that's your message to other people where they can be built up and be encouraged. Now notice this. Verse 41. And he, Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. So I love this. A lot of times in my life I told my kids to do something, but maybe I wasn't the best example of what I told them. Just being honest, I wanted him to do what was right, but sometimes I didn't have the discipline myself to do what was right. But praise God for grace and mercy. Amen? And so what Jesus done, he said, listen, this is the whole key, how you cannot, or you will not be defeated by fear. He said, pray. And then he went and he drawled himself away from them, and he started praying. Now, I want you to get excited about this because this word withdrawn, not only does it mean to pull away from, but the word literally means to take a sword out of the sheath. Now, let's think about that just for a minute. To take a sword out of a sheath, how is Jesus described in the book of Revelation? He's got a double-edged sword too, right? And so what did he do? Out of his mouth, he started talking. He started praying. He started communicating to God the Father. And a two-edged sword cuts both ways. And so he's cutting through the lies and the deception of the enemy, of all the things that he's feeling in the natural, and knowing that where he's at is in the middle of God's will. There may be some things that you're dealing with tonight that you don't understand. But because you know that you're in the middle of God's will, it's going to work. It's going to be okay. Amen? So here he is. He withdrew himself. Now, this is so key to you and I. We've got to learn how to live in a relationship with God contingent on us and Him. Nobody else. And we need to pull away from those things that would be a distraction to us. I admonish you in your home study time just to meditate on this stone cast and see what the Spirit of God reveals to you. We don't have time to, we'll do it sometime in Bible study. But it means so much. You know, there's two stones. Jesus is the rock. But there's another rock that will sail you into hell, death, and the grave. He's the fake rock. But we need to learn how to cast away those things and stay close to Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Follow His example. Thank you. Notice what it says. He even gives us a guideline here. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Now let's think about that. We know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. We know that they're in perfect unity because out of the mouth of Jesus, He said we are one. But Jesus had a flesh body like you've got. Now let's think about this. If you, and you may not agree with this, and that's fine, but you studied out for yourself. Jesus was fully God in the flesh. And as far as I can find, and you may have found something else, but as far as I can find, there's only one thing in the flesh that Jesus didn't know in Scripture. And that was when He was going to come back. Because remember, He said that time is appointed by the Father. And He said even the holy angels don't know. So I'm saying that to say this. Here Jesus is. He's a few hours hence from going to Pilate's hall. A few hours hence from going to the cross. And so He knows, because we've got Scripture that shows us where He quotes Psalms 22. Isaiah 52 and 53. He knows exactly what's going to happen to Him. I don't know about you, I get nervous about some of the things I got to do just in the natural, and has nothing to do with being whipped and beaten. But He knows all of this. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's Jesus. Amen. John 1 and 1. So the Word is in Him. It's flowing through Him. He knows. He can look, and He can see them pulling his beard out. He can see himself blindfolded and a crown of thorns crammed down on his head and them punching him and saying, prophesy. If you be a prophet, tell us who punched you. He can see all of that, and here he is, and he's trying to teach his disciples because he loves them so much. He loves you, me, so much. Oh, we don't have to fear. How we can overcome it, we can forego it, and we can fight with faith rather than fight with fear. Faith, mark this down in your mind's eye, faith is expecting God to move. Faith is expecting God to move. Fear is expecting the devil to move. You and I, we're faith people. Amen? So we know our God's going to move. He's done moved. And He's going to continually reveal that movement that has been completed. All we have to do is adhere to it. Amen? Okay. So here we are. We're seeing what Jesus is laying out for us. And notice what He says. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So He's in a spiritual battle here that is manifesting itself in the flesh and in the mind. Notice what happens. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Let's stop right there just for a second. And there appeared an angel unto him. Now, this is how serious this struggle was. But this is how encouraged I want you to be tonight. You feel the anointing flowing on that? Oh, glory. Now, I want you to think about that. We know that when Lucifer, when he fell, he took a third of the angels with him, right? But that means that there's two-thirds that's still with God. Amen? And the third that fell, they have lost their authority. Now, they still have power, but they've lost their authority. But the two-thirds that are working for you and I to go with that authority. Come on now. And so here Jesus is, He in the spirit realm. Now we know that He, remember the Bible says in John chapter 3 that Jesus had the anointing without limitation. He had in full measure. So He has full discerning of spirits. And so He's looking, He's seeing every spirit. Here's the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of fear, the spirit of hate, spirit of lust, the spirit of murder, spirit of malice. Oh, He's seeing all of this. And all of a sudden, God touches him and opens up his eyes, and there's the angel. Maybe the angel of the Lord. Tonight, what would God want to show us? For every fear, every doubt, every bit of thing that the enemy would work in our life would be falling under the feet of Jesus. Notice that as soon as Jesus saw that, it said that he was strengthened. Now, there's only one other time you'll see this Greek word used. My mind is racing, so don't hold me to this, but it's somewhere in here really close. Acts, I think, 9:19. It's in there somewhere really close. But it's about Saul when he become Paul. After he got knocked off his donkey, so to speak, and he got saved, remember, and it said he had to receive meat for 3 days. You know, he didn't eat, didn't drink. He was blind. Ananias came and laid hands on him. He received his sight, and then he received meat, and he was strengthened. And then he went out, and he preached Christ immediately, and they believed him. That's the kind of strength we're talking about. So the angel come down and strengthened Jesus. Now, Hebrews 1:14 says that God's holy angels, His ministering spirits, they're here to minister not just to you, the Scripture, but for you. You're to use the name of Jesus and put them to work in your life, in your ministry, in your family, in your friends, in this community. Amen? So here we are. I want you to see Jesus there. Now notice that strengthening is coming, but as we read the next verse, it really is a prelude to what happened before, and it gives us an example and understanding why God had to do what He did. Look at the next verse, verse 44. And being in agony, now mark it down in your mind's eye, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, for you, for me, for the whole world, being in agony. For God so loved us. Amen? For God so loved us. He was willing to give Jesus for us to go through this that we might have life. And yet I'm worried, I've got fear about how I'm going to take care of something tomorrow. When Jesus Christ has kept me from eternal judgment, He has justified me just as if I never sinned. I have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. Amen? We've got to operate in faith. Now notice, and being in agony, He, Jesus, prayed more earnestly. And notice what happened. And sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now this word agony is from a Greek word, agonia. And agonia means that there's a struggle that is going on, a contest that's going on. And this struggle, this contest that's going on is leading to, it's a contest that fear is trying to take over. Fear is trying to dominate. Well, every day of your life, every day of my life, the devil is trying to bring fear on us to keep us from being who God called us to be. You know, sometimes we're a little fearful about witnessing. We're a little fearful about testifying. We're a little fearful about just standing up and being the light that Jesus said we was. But we've got to be strong in who God has said we were. Amen. Not what we feel like, not what we look like, but what God has said about us. And the way that we do that is that we realize that you're going to have a battle every day. I'm going to have a battle every day. Contest. But because Jesus overcome, you can overcome. Amen? And the devil doesn't want you and I to live that out. He didn't want us to believe that to the point of doing what this book says we can do. But we're going to do it, amen? For the glory of God, by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Tori, would you put 1 Timothy 6, 12? Here is the prime of that same word, agonia, agon. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we need to tell everybody in the body of Christ that you're going to fight. If you're going to walk in faith, if you're going to grow and mature, and you're going to be what God called you to be, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a fight. But like Jesus, Paul is an example to us. Put 2 Timothy 4, 7. Paul's getting ready. This is his last writing. And he's getting ready to be, his head is fixing to be cut off. He's fixing to give up everything for his work will be done. Look what he says. I fought a good fight. Jesus was in agony. That's what we're talking about. There was a contest. There was a strive. There was a battle. That's what this word fight. It's from the same Greek word. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So you're going to have to battle. But that doesn't mean that you're not saved. That's why I'm here tonight. That's what the Holy Ghost has sent me here tonight to do, to tell you, just because you have fear trying to sneak up on you, trying to operate in your life, trying to discourage you, that doesn't mean, all that means is that you are a formidable enemy to the devil. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. I used to, when this would happen, I would get so discouraged because I thought because I was feeling this fear that I was letting God down. No, I'm not letting God down. I am standing. Because when you stand between what the enemy's trying to do and reveal what God's already done, that brings Him glory. That shines light. Amen? And that's why we're here.
Okay. Going back to Luke. And He, Jesus, being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. We gotta learn not to let nothing stop our prayer. See, sometimes the devil brings pressure on us, and our first thing is, well,
I'm just going to back up a little bit and think about this. That's the worst thing we can do. We need to pray harder and harder and harder, because when you pray harder, when I pray harder, it's like a jackhammer of the Holy Ghost on the devil's head.
Amen?
Amen? And that's what we want.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Now, why did God send an angel to strengthen Jesus? It said that that Jesus' sweat become as great drops of blood. Now, I'm not for sure how to pronounce this word, but you can look it up for yourself. It's something like hemathomatosis. And Luke was a medical doctor. And God inspired him to write this book by the Holy Ghost. And that's a medical term. And that's a term that means that it's what happens to you just before you have a stroke. Not just any stroke, but a fatal stroke. Jesus was under so much pressure, he was fixing to stroke and die. See, the devil's plan was, I'm going to show you. Now listen very closely by the Holy Ghost. The devil's plan was, I'm going to show you every scenario. Because the devil wanted to stop him from going to the cross. Tonight, how many Gospels, every one of them, Jesus said, if you be my disciple, you will pick up your cross and carry it. But see, though, the devil wants to show us all these scenarios why we shouldn't, why we can't carry our cross. But the Bible says the devil is not only a liar, but the truth is. So here we are. We're in a place and a position where we look and we see that the devil gave his best shot to kill Jesus Christ, to stop the word of God, and he couldn't do it. All God did was show one angel to Jesus, and he was strengthened, and he went forward. Oh, come on now, that's a good place to shout. One angel. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, that you've got two angels. I know that's at least two, because the word is plural. A-N-G-E-L-S. There may be more, but the word is plural. Look it up. Remember out of the mouth, Jesus is teaching, suffer the little children to come unto me, right? And he said, you better not do anything to these little children, because their angels always behold the face of God. Oh, come on now. If one angel, Jesus sees him and he whips the devil, what can you do tonight? What can you do tomorrow when you meet the devil head on? He is a defeated foe, and you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children, that's who we are, children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same flesh, that through death he might destroy him, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, that dragon, that old serpent, that he had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil no longer has the power of death. He can't kill you. He can't kill me. He can't kill the child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. So I used to be under bondage. Because if we had time, we don't have time, but if we read this whole context, you mark it down, all the lifetime we were in the subject of bondage. But now we're under freedom, because we're not under the servant of the devil. We're children of the Almighty God. Amen? Can I have just a couple more minutes? Okay. Now, all right, let's finish that then. Okay. Verse 45. And he, Jesus, rose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard this preached, and it's always preached how bad they were because they went to sleep. Is that what it says? That's not what the Bible says. But come on now, don't look at me like that. You've heard the same thing. They were so overcome. But what they knew was fixing to happen to Jesus. Do y'all not ever just sleep because you can't, don't want to face what you're fixing to have to face? They were sleeping for sorrow. But Jesus come to them. Come on, Jesus takes our sorrow. He carried it on the cross. Amen? All right. And he said to them, "Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." In other words, what he's saying is, don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let him stop you from praying. Because sometimes the discouragement is so great that we'll stop. All right. Now, I know we'll wrap this up. How do we put this into practice? How do we do what Jesus did? We got a perfect example. Go with me to Psalms 56. Now, how many knows that the Old Testament, it's the type and the shadow of the New? And you look at King David, and King David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life is laid out there to show you and I a type, a pattern. It's a formula for you and I to look and see how we can put the Word of God to practice in our life. So let's picture this. And when we read this, I want you to picture King David as that type of Jesus Christ. Because Psalms 22 is about King David. He wrote it, but it's about Jesus, right? Okay. So notice Psalms 56. Now, we got to read the intro. If you got a Bible that doesn't have the intro in it, you're missing out. Because without the intro, you don't know what's happening. It's the setting. It's the background of the whole story. We was looking at her Bible. It didn't even have it in there. And that's really, that makes me mad, actually, to be honest with you. Because God put it in there. You need it. I need it. Amen. Man wants to take it out. Then they need to be careful. What does the book of Revelation say? Don't add to my word. Don't take away from my word, or every curse that's in this book will come upon your life. Right? All right, look what it says. This Psalm 56, it's written to the chief musician upon, help me with this, Jonathan Eliakim. Now, what does his name mean? This is why this is important. His name means dove of distance. And we're fixing to find out that when the devil attacks you, you feel like that you're way over here. And God is way over there. Amen? You ever felt like that? You feel like, God, can you hear me? I'm down in a hole. Distance. But with the Lord, there is no distance, because the Spirit of God is what? He's everywhere, and He abides within you and me at the moment of salvation, and He'll never leave us and never forsake us. Brother Corey taught on that this morning in Sunday school. But I want you to see this. It says, Mitchum of David, when the Philistines took him to Gath. Now, Mitchum means to engrave upon the table of your heart. And the way that you and I overcome the devil, the way we forego fear, is we write the word on our heart by the Holy Ghost. And remember, it says the Philistines were coming after David. Now, the Philistines, is anywhere in Scripture, is always the type of the devil. Because the word Philistines means to roll in the dirt. What did God tell the serpent in the garden? Cursed shall you be all the days of your life, because you're going to roll in the dirt. All right? But they took him to Gath. Gath means press. Where was Jesus at? He was at the place of the olive oil, the olive press. Here, Gath means wine press, but it's the same point. Amen? The place of pressure. Notice what happens. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. How many feels like that? I feel like that sometimes, don't you? It seems like everything that can come against you comes against you. And you think when that blow hits you and you're still standing, You take a breath and then bam, here comes one from the backside or the side that you didn't even know that was coming. There it is. That's the way the devil works. That's the way he operates. And we feel like we're going to be swallowed up. But he said, he fighting daily oppresseth me. That means to press. The devil's going to try to press you, but guess what? The blood of Jesus is going to come out of you now instead of fear, instead of weakness. Because Jesus shed his blood, and when you got saved, the blood of Jesus is not just upon you, it's in you. Amen? That's your life. That's what's flowing through you spiritually, in your spiritual body. You got a spiritual body just like this, what you can pinch. But inside of it is the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now that excites me, the thought of that. When the devil presses, guess what? The devil can't cross the bloodline. The devil can't stand the blood. So when he brings more pressure on me, all he's going to get is the things that he don't like. Amen? My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many and they fight against me, O Most High. Notice, Jesus said what? He said, pray. What's David doing? He's praying. What are you and I going to do? We're going to pray. Amen? And here's what we do. Verse 3 and 4. What time I am afraid. Jesus said here through as a type being exemplified by David, there's going to be a time when you're going to have a tendency to try to fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, this is important tonight because the devil loves to bring condemnation. And so the moment that you fear, get in fear about something, the devil goes, oh, man, you've offended God, you've sinned, and God's mad at you. Well, devil, first of all, I don't want to hear what you got to say. So I'm going to tune off your frequency and I'm going to tune back into the Lord where I'm supposed to be. And I know that my Jesus is in all points tempted, as we done quoted. And he knows. It says that he understands my weakness. It says that he's touched by my weakness, my infirmities. Not mad about them. He wants to help me. He wants to help you. So we got to tell people where they'll be drawn closer to God instead of pushed away. Amen? Now we're talking about how to forego. We're talking about victory. Now notice what he said. So first of all, there was prayer. Now just remember these last three things. Prayer, but there's praise. Verse number 4. In God, I will praise his word. So we pray, but we don't pray out of feelings. So many times in my life, that's what I would do. I would pray about how I was feeling. And how I'm feeling is contradictory to what this word says. Because feeling has nothing to do with faith. Amen? So the three P's to foregoing fear is, first of all, I need to pray and I need to praise. Because if Philippians chapter 4 says, in everything with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Right? What is that? Philippians 4, 6 maybe or something. 4, 6, 4, 8. Anyway, that's what we're to do. Amen? And if we'll do that, we're going to walk. We're going to forego fear. And we're going to walk in faith. Amen? So, prayer and praise, but notice this. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, and I will not fear what flesh can do to me. So there's prayer, there's praise, but there's a place. So how do I forego fear? By these three P's. I've got to realize that I am in God because of Jesus Christ. You are in God. Now, Jesus makes this wonderful statement in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. He said that you're in the Father's hand and no man can take you out. in God. I'm in that place tonight. You're in that place tonight. That place where there is no fear. But I've got to learn to what? I've got to learn to pray. And I've got to learn to praise. And I've got to learn to recognize my surroundings. Now here's what Jesus did. Jesus is on his knees. He's praying. Here's all the plan of the devil being presented before his very eyes. And all of a sudden, God opens up his eyes to that one angel. And that one angel shows him the other side of the cross. That one angel shows him you and I sitting here tonight, blood washed, on our way to heaven. That one angel showed him the book of Revelation with the new heaven and the new earth coming down because what the Lamb had done. Come on now. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's ours. We're not waiting for it for the sound of the trumpet. Thank God for the sound of the trumpet. That's when it's going to be literal to us, but it's literal to our spirit right now. Amen? So I'm going to forego fear. Now notice, he emphasizes this two last verses. Drop down and look what he says in verses 10 and 11 for emphasis. He says it again. In God will I praise His Word. In God will I praise His Word. Verse 11. In God have I put my trust, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. So the prayers are going up because of knowing that there's safety in that place. The prayers are leading to praise. Because of that place. We got to put our reverence on the Lord and not flesh, not man. Amen. And Jesus has faced everything that you and I will ever face, and He overcome it. So we can do Revelation 21:7. We can overcome all things. Amen. And I want us to leave here tonight just churning in our spirit by the fire of the Holy Ghost, waiting and looking for that person who is being manipulated or controlled by fear, where we can do what God said we could do. We can give them a word of wisdom. We can lay hands on them. We can wrap our arms around them. We can set them up out of the miry clay just like God did us upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And success is theirs. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to close with this thought. You count it out for yourself. The best I could count, there's about 103 times that the Bible says, fear not or do not be afraid. The best I can count. Now, I know there's a book that says that it's in there 365 times. I'm not arguing with the book. I couldn't find it. Now, I'm not arguing with the book. It may be. But I know at least there's 103 times. There's very few things that God repeats over and over. He says by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But yet He repeats, fear not, do not be afraid, at least 103 times. That means it's going to be an issue in the Christian's life. So we need to take heed to what he said, amen, and put it to practice. One last thing. Now this will show how old I am, but the word fear is in the King James Version Bible 501 times. The minute that I looked that up and I counted that out, and I saw 501, the Holy Ghost brought to my remembrance and said these very words. What did our area code here used to be? And the Spirit of God said, the devil is going to keep calling your number, trying to bring fear. Pick up on my line and reject his call. Amen? That encourages me so much. Amen? Oh, glory, we serve a God who has given us all things. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we come boldly to you right now to the throne of grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, for starting with myself, but every person under the sound of my voice. Father, you know every situation and circumstance that they're dealing with tonight. You know what we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, next week, till the coming of the Lord. You know what we need, not to give spot, not to give place, not to fall to fear. I ask that you would touch each and every one of us, draw us to an altar in our heart, and speak to us. And help us be in a place where we put these three P's to work in our life. We develop our prayer life. We develop our praise life. And we know that we're in a place that we cannot be moved from. We are on the solid rock. We can choose to leave ourselves, but the devil cannot pluck us out of our place in you. Father, touch and draw each person here. And let them, as they meet you at this altar, the altar of their heart, let them get up from that altar empowered, invigorated, on fire to help someone else. We thank you for it. We ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight? Would you come and make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar at your chair, whatever you choose to do. But let's spend some time. Because if we'll be honest with each other and be honest with God, there's all kinds of areas of fear that we have in our life. And God has burnt this message on my spirit for us to be able to know beyond a doubt we can leave here and we can be different than we ever were before. We can be stronger than we ever were before. You don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear God, your source. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Paul quoted it in 1 Corinthians 10:26. Whatever you might need tonight, God owns it all. And guess what? You're not just a joint heir with Christ. You're an heir of God. What do you need tonight? Come into this altar and meet the Lord and let Him show you what your inheritance is. Let Him show the shoes on your sandals on your feet, the ring on your hand, and the robe of righteousness that says you're qualified. Come, would you come tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.